It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Somebody who I call a friend is joining us now. He's gone through some things that I don't quite know that he deserved. And you know my position on this. We've talked about it. And I've been, you know, very upfront and open with my disclosures about our relationship. But this was something that was very heavy that happened approximately 2014 through 2019 out of Fresno State. And it's the story of one Dr. Frank Lamas, who sounds like a pretty bad actor, doing some things that you just can't do in this day and age involving females. Asking about sexual orientation, making comments about the way that they look, retaliating if this, that, and the other thing wasn't done. So he got sent down the road. And apparently, the way I understand it, and that's what we're going to find out now, by the book. But it was the book that got Dr. Joe Castro in trouble, in my estimation, as the former president of Fresno State, who received, as we all know, a rather large promotion that was rather unceremoniously taken away from him. Joe, my friend, welcome back home. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ray, it's nice to hear your voice.
Nice
Thank
to hear
you
yours.
So much.
It's been a while. A long while.
It has. It has. It's good to be back with you again.
Before I dive into this, what do you want to say at the onset of our interview here? What would you like to tell the people?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, amplify what you just said, is that there is no room in our society for sexual harassment. And I believe that universities and the rest of society, we need to work more effectively to eliminate it. And I've always believed that and continue to believe that and have learned a lot of lessons from this whole experience and plan to redouble my efforts in this area going forward.
Now, but that makes it sound to somebody, some few people out there, that you think you did something wrong. Did you do something wrong, Joe?
I don't believe I did anything wrong. I followed the CSU's policies and practices every single day as president and as chancellor. I operated in a complex organization. This was a particularly complicated set of issues. As the report detailed, there wasn't a formal complaint coming forward until 2019. So we were doing our best to address the informal complaints. And what I can say as president is I would listen to advice from all the different experts, legal and policy, and consult with the chancellor as appropriate. And these were decisions that I'd make with a team. So if you imagined, in a car together, we were in the car together driving it. And I know as president, I was ultimately responsible for what happened at Fresno State. But the truth of the matter is that as a president on legal matters, those were centralized in the chancellor's office. So those are things that required a president to consult with the chancellor's office, the general counsel, and get that legal advice before making any decisions.
And that advice, you know, that you were getting was from a printed set of rules of what you should do in a situation like this. Am I close? I mean, it seems like it's a system that says, here it is, here's what you must do. But in hindsight, it's a system that sort of protects the system, so there's not a lot of litigation.
Well, Ray, if you read the report, you'll find there are policies, and we must follow those policies just like you would in any organization. And then there are areas where the policy does not apply, and that's where you get into a situation of saying, you know, what is the best thing to do? What can we do? Can we investigate or can't we investigate? And trying to be mindful of all that. And in this particular case, as I mentioned before, there were informal complaints and then there was one formal one. And once the formal one came in, we acted immediately, and we can get into that afterward. But it was with respect to the informal complaints that the investigator believed that we didn't always handle them well. But what I can tell you is that was a collaborative approach. And, you know, I'll take whatever responsibility is necessary as part of that. But it was definitely a team approach as we dealt with these different challenges.
But if it's an informal complaint, it means it's informal. You know, I mean, how are you to react to something that isn't carved in stone and isn't taken seriously by the individual to formalize? Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely. And I always took them seriously. But as you say, they're, you know, if you don't know who's saying it, if you don't have all the information, then you try to do the best you can to gather information and to make the best decisions that you can. And I always did that with my colleagues. And, you know, people have said, well, he was a friend of yours. You know, the fact of the matter is Mary and I were working 24/7. This is a lifestyle, and we loved it, every minute of it. So you don't really have time to develop a whole bunch of friendships. And, you know, he was a colleague, just like all the other members of my cabinet. And, you know, I would make decisions about matters based on policy and not on a personal relationship.
It's like you're reading my mind, because that was my next question. I mean, about your relationship with Dr. Lamas. What kind of relationship did you have? I mean, the guy sounds like a pretty bad actor. But, I mean, what I mean, obviously, you got to work together. But beyond that, what, Joe?
Well, I think people in the press have said, well, you recruited him. And that's true. Any president who is looking for top talent will recruit people to be in a pool. And he was one of a number of people that I recruited. And I would do this for every leadership position. And presidents of universities do this across the country, is you call people or have a search firm call them and encourage them to be a candidate. That does not mean you're going to select them. So he was somebody that I had met at a national conference and had heard good things about. And so he was encouraged. I encouraged him to be part of the pool. And then we went through all the formal selection processes where the committee evaluated and then recommended candidates to me, and I selected him. And he worked alongside of me and the other cabinet members beginning in 2014.
I know you to be incredibly detail-oriented. I know you to double up on dotting the I's and crossing the T's so things like this shouldn't happen. You were very proud of that university and
yes,
very proud of your position. I've never seen anybody exude such pride with their job as you, Joe, and I mean that. Now, but in the investigation of Dr. Lamas, in the background of, like, before hiring the guy, was there anything like this on the record that indicated, uh-oh, we may have a little slippery slope here?
Absolutely not. No, we did reference checking, and there was nothing like that in there. And we do that for all candidates. And if there are issues, then we don't, you know, move forward. But in this case, there were not issues. So at that point, I had no idea that there would be issues that came about later. So, yeah, I want people to know that, you know, we had a search process that involves students and faculty and staff, administrators, and the president is not involved in that except to say, this is the kind of vice president that I like, and then the committee would evaluate that and bring forward candidates that they thought were qualified, and then I would get to select from, say, you know, two or three that they thought were qualified.
I don't know if you can answer this next question or not, and if you can't, I thoroughly understand. After this was all said and done, was there any communication with anybody who said, you know that guy Lamas? Let me tell you what happened way back when at such and such. Has any of that popped up since this case has been aired out publicly?
No. No, I haven't received any information like that, not as president and not since that time. Even during the investigation, I hadn't received any information about that.
I've spoken with some of the women involved with this. They got a hold of me.
Yes.
They got a hold of me. And
yes,
they wanted me to know that they thought you did everything by the book. And it was a book that they didn't like, but they know that you didn't write. And I think, I mean, that's kind of what we're dealing with here a little bit, maybe, huh? And if there were any blind spots, Joe, where were they? Maybe in this whole formal versus informal thing.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, one of the things that we're dealing with in this area, which I think is great for our society, is we're becoming much more aggressive in eliminating sexual harassment, and I'm very supportive of that. In this case, you know, we're kind of looking at a situation that started to occur in 2014, and policies change over time. Society views different issues in a different way, and so it does make it complicated to apply like a 2022 standard to some of the things we were doing in 2014. So when you say that my former female colleagues who talked to you said the system is not right, I do. That's one of my lessons, is that the system does need to change even more. I think it's starting to change. I proposed two reforms on the day that I left office, and I was glad that the trustees approved those in July, and those will ensure that a situation like this one doesn't get repeated, and that's so important. And if there's anything that will be good that comes out of this, Ray, because I am a religious person, I'm trying to figure out why this has all happened, it will be that our policies and our structures and our systems are going to be stronger in the CSU to support all women and men who face any kind of harassment.
Let me take a break, Joe, and we'll continue. Dr. Joe Castro is with us. And when we come back, we're going to talk about those moments when he was chancellor, and this all began to kind of fall apart, and it looked like something may go south. It's a question I've pondered openly on the air. I've never asked him about it before, and I think it would be appropriate to do so today, and we'll do that next on KMJ. Please stay with us.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJnow.com.
Dr. Joe Castro is very kindly joining us, former chancellor of the system, former president of Fresno State, and I think most everybody knows that he lost his job over the way that something was handled with a Dr. Frank Lamas for some very inappropriate conduct with women on campus, maybe off campus. But one of the things that I hear people say, Joe, and I've thought about it a couple of times, and it's something that Jim Patterson and I have discussed, is that when this all began to fall apart and you were chancellor, it seems like you didn't take a very public, loud position that this was wrong and you're the man in charge now and there's a new sheriff in town and this is going to change right now and get ahead of it. Or is the system so stiff within the bureaucracy of this that would have been labeled inappropriate? Do you know what I'm saying? Can you respond to that? I'm sure people have said this to you.
Sure. Well, as you might recall, all this happened within a very short period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Between the USA Today article, which was extraordinarily provocative and included a lot of misstatements and untruths, to the time that I was no longer chancellor. That was just a little over, a week and a half or something like that. So I was trying to do that. I was just beginning to become aware of the different challenges. So what I'd say to Jim and everyone else is I was trying to do that as chancellor. On my last day, which I, you know, between you and me, I didn't know it was going to be my last day, but I said, these are things that I think we need to do to make changes. And thankfully, you know, those were done. The first thing was to say anybody who violates a Title IX policy cannot retreat to a faculty position. If we had had a policy like that, then we wouldn't have gone through a settlement with Dr. Lamas. The second policy was to say if you violated Title IX, you cannot get a letter of reference. And that would have enabled me as a president to say to the mediator, I'm sorry, I can't do this. And that would have been left out of the settlement. But it was part of the settlement, and I regret it. Those are two reforms that I proposed that I thought were things that needed to happen immediately. And I had already called for a review of Title IX programs within the CSU. The first fall I was there, which would have been the fall of 21, and that was being undertaken while I was there.
Part of the settlement that you regret, that settlement, was that by the book? Was that decided by other people with you? Or Can you elaborate a little bit, please?
It was all by the book, Ray, and the investigator basically confirms that. I can tell you from beginning to end, it was handled appropriately. Someone could say, well, that's too much money. I understand, but in this case, we decided to go to a mediator, and the mediator said, this is what I think this is fair, and you know, we would decide, both parties would decide either to accept it or not, and had we not, then it could have gone to court, and then it would have been a whole other realm, given that he had a contractual right to be a professor. So I can tell you for sure that that was handled appropriately, and the investigator agrees with that.
I can see where, you know, you may not like the amount of money. It's awful.
Right.
But that's avoiding further litigation that could wind up costing the university 50 times that amount.
Yes, absolutely. And the report did say that I tried to pressure my former provost to have Dr. Lamas on the faculty, and that's just absolutely false. I knew that he had a contractual right to be there, but we decided that mediation was the right approach rather than having him come to campus or going to court. And that was all documented by the investigator.
I've only got 3 minutes until news, but we'll get this in and we can start on this. Misstatements and untruths in USA Today, such as, Joe?
Well, I'll give you one example. This was a conspiracy to help me become chancellor without people knowing. And that's just not true. The timing of this was coincidental because the investigation had gone on so long. And as a president, you know, I did what I should have done with the settlement with the chancellor, and it was all approved as the investigator has found. And that had nothing to do with me becoming chancellor. And I assumed that the chancellor had disclosed it to the board. And again, that's one of my lessons learned, is I wish I had confirmed that and confirmed that with the board. But I can tell you that that was something that USA Today got wrong, as well as just making it look like I wasn't following policies and practices in doing this, which I did from beginning to end.
So you say it was something that the chancellor didn't confirm to the board. So he didn't do what?
Well, so I don't know exactly what happened there. I know as chancellor, I would brief the board chair and vice chair about a settlement or discuss it with the whole board. I believe that he would normally have done that, just like with this one, but I don't know that for sure because he hasn't told me and the board has said they didn't know. But that would normally be what the chancellor would do. A president wouldn't talk to the board in our system about a settlement. But, you know, again, that's my lesson. I wish I had confirmed that with him and known that and discussed it with the board chair. But I didn't think it was an issue because I didn't hear from the chancellor at the time that there was any concern about it. And as the investigator said, it was done properly. The settlement was done properly.
That is the voice of Dr. Joe Castro, who's joining us on the events in his life, which were rather tumultuous. We'll take a break. We'll handle some news here. We'll come back and speak with Joe Castro further.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
We continue with the former chancellor, the former president of Fresno State, Dr. Joe Castro, who is kind enough to join us today and talk about this investigation into the dismissal of Dr. Frank Lamas. Joe, I'm loaded with questions, so I'm just going to ramble on here. Where does this go now? It doesn't sound like this is over yet. The investigation.
Right. This was the first investigation of Fresno State, but there's a second one that's being done by an external law firm of the whole system. And then there's also the one that Assemblyman Patterson has been calling for, which is a independent state audit. And I'm hopeful that that one will actually look at this in a much more holistic way.
When did in this whole process, was your record as president of Fresno State ever brought into view to judge you by that? And just respond to that question any way you can. I hope it wasn't too awkward.
Sure. No, I get what you're saying. You know, I spent a lot of time with you as president trying to demystify what it was like to lead Fresno State. And one of the things that some people in the community know and others may not is that presidents of Fresno State and other CSU campuses are continuously reviewed. Every single year, our performance is reviewed by the chancellor. Every third year, there is a very comprehensive review that where the chancellor sends letters to leaders in the community, legislators, students, faculty, staff, and receives feedback. And then there's a whole review of performance that the trustees end up finalizing with the particular president. So I was reviewed as president in 2016-17. That was my third year review. I started getting reviews after 2013 each year, but the significant ones were in 16-17 and then again in 2019. And with 2019 was my six-year review. That actually included a committee that came onto campus to interview people. There was a confidential way in which people could send notes to the chancellor who no one else would see other than him. And then in between those reviews, the system-wide Title IX director came down and did a review of all of our Title IX programs in 2018. And I received a letter from that person who basically said, thank you for hosting me, and, you know, it was a great visit. Sincerely, there was no information about any issues or challenges that came out of that visit or any of my presidential reviews that occurred beforehand. So this was all things that the investigator was talking about are things that people are saying right now, but for whatever reason, it wasn't coming out before, and there were lots of different ways in which that could have happened if someone really thought I was doing a bad job or had used bad judgment, poor judgment, that would have been, there were plenty of opportunities for people to tell me that.
Do you miss your job as chancellor?
Absolutely miss president.
Ah.
That's the job I miss the most. I love the people of Fresno. Mary and I both love being there, serving at home. Chancellor was a different job, and of course I wasn't in there very long, but it wasn't nearly as fun as being president.
I miss going to your house and hanging out.
Me too. I miss that. I miss seeing people around Fresno and all of that. But no, there are brighter days ahead, Ray. There's a lot of opportunity out there, and I didn't expect this to occur, but for some reason the good Lord wanted it to occur, and Mary and I are looking at it as a fresh opportunity to do some new things, but we know we're going to serve, we're going to continue to serve. We have that passion, and the students of the Central Valley are in our hearts because they share the same characteristics by and large that we did, modest backgrounds, hardworking, and so you're going to see me and Mary doing lots of exciting things in the future. It'll just be different.
What are you doing now?
Well, right now I'm in a transition program, which gives me a lot of freedom. So I'm teaching at Berkeley, and I've been invited to do some teaching at Stanford. And then I'm just helping some presidents behind the scenes as a volunteer, just being a sounding board for them, helping them. And down the line, I probably will be a professor of business at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and do consulting. And I really enjoy helping people who want to be a president. So I do a lot of work with programs that help people prepare for that, as well as presidents who are in the job trying to deal with different challenges. I enjoy that coaching part. So whether it's being a president of a university or another university or helping presidents, I'm going to continue to serve and educate and support.
In hindsight, I think it's very obvious that I need to ask, is there that one thing that you caught that you would do differently if this were to happen again, where you went, oh, damn, I missed this, and if we'd done it this way, I'd still be sitting in the chancellor's office. Is there anything like that that you would identify that needed, you know, another look?
Yeah, I mean, I think if I could roll the tape back, I think, you know, of course, hindsight is 2020, but I think a conversation about, you know, maybe this is not the best role for you as vice president, and, you know, let's figure something out for you to succeed elsewhere, you know, sooner. In retrospect, that, of course, after knowing everything, that would have been a much better outcome for the university and for him too. So I think that, you know, that's definitely a lesson. You know, there is a lesson about whether we should have gone to court versus settling. I've thought about that at length, and I think if I were to be faced with this in the future, and I hope I never am, but if I were, I think I might choose to fight this in court instead of settling. So that's another lesson learned, just to show the visible aggressiveness in fighting sexual harassment. I think the settlement part upset some people, and I understand that, but it was the surest, it was the surest path to, you know, ensure that the surest path to keep the campus safe. That was really.
And that's, I think that's obvious to anybody who knows law and how these things work. But a personal question to you that may be a little, you know, edgy. How did Lamas respond personally to you when everything began to shake out? Was he in denial, or did he say, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I screwed up. Let me help you, you know, wade through this"? What was that like with him before he was sent down the road?
He was very consistent. He denied everything, and so I needed to trust the investigator that her judgment was correct, and I followed that. I followed the policies. So, yeah, he's denied it from beginning to end, and that's just the way it's been. In the letter that I've been criticized for writing, he didn't like that letter. I don't think he ever used it, but, you know, I've been criticized for that, and I probably, under the same circumstances now, I would have found a way to not do that or written it differently. I mean, that's another lesson for me as well. But I did it because it was required by the agreement. But the irony is, I think he just put it in a drawer and never used it.
What's he doing now? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I'm
aware. Probably don't want to know.
Lives on the East Coast. We have not spoken to each other since he left Fresno.
All right, let's take the final break. Dr. Joe Castro is with us. We're going through the first phase of the investigation. There may be another. Well, there will be another. There may even be something, you know, offered up by the state and Jim Pattison that he's been working on. That, you know, he talked about. Jim and I have talked about this a lot, and he talked early on the air about it, and he was one of the individuals who was just as disturbed by this as I was. So we'll move on with Joe Castro. One more segment on News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ. We'll be right back. Stay there.
Right now.
The Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
All right, I've got to hustle along here and get Dr. Castro out. He's got another thing that he has to do at high 1 o'clock here. But I need to go back to Joe, if I may.
Sure.
This informal versus formal. Let's look at the numbers here. There was one formal complaint, and how many informal complaints?
I haven't memorized the number, but there were some that I didn't know about, and some that I did know about. And they took place between 2014 and 2019.
But only one formal complaint. I want to reemphasize that, correct?
There was only one formal complaint.
Why were these others on the informal side, why didn't they formalize? I mean, what's missing there?
Well, I think to be fair,
you can't read minds,
Ray,
but I try to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be really careful here because I wish that folks had felt comfortable coming forward, but for whatever reason they didn't, and I don't want to speculate as to why.
Sure.
But you know, some of it, like the first one, was an anonymous letter that came in that talked about something he was doing off campus at a bar, and so something like that versus someone who actually says this happened to me. So we had to look at them each one. And look at the policy and figure out the right way to deal with each of them. And because they were informal, that led us to not investigate. And of course, people have criticized us for that. The investigator does not criticize us necessarily. She saw the complexity of those, and we were doing our very best to deal with them. And I can tell you in real time, these can be very complicated, delicate matters. So you try to handle them as sensitively as you can. And that's what I did every day as president.
You did everything by the book. You had a committee back you up. You did the thing that you probably would have had to do to pay that awful amount of money to keep this thing out of court, to protect Fresno State from being hit up for like millions and millions of dollars in court costs. And what if they would have lost? And it could have been a real train wreck, you know? So, I mean, the question has to be asked, why did they get rid of you? Why were you told you were being dismissed, Joe?
Well, I have to be careful about what I say in terms of that.
Understood.
If you look at the press clippings before the board meeting, you will see that both the board chair and I had said we're going to investigate. And that's what I thought was going to happen while I continued to serve as chancellor. And obviously that changed on February 17th, and here we are. And I think the most important thing now, Ray, because this is not about me, the most important thing is that the state audit, which is independent, really looks at this in a way that's comprehensive, that all the examples around the system, some of which we know about in the press now since I left office, that those things get looked at and with an independent source. The investigator that handled the Fresno State matter was paid by the CSU. And I think, as Assemblyman Patterson said, you know, that raises some questions about.
It sure does.
So I'm not going to go there, but I do think that a state audit is going to be helpful here.
All right. Final question. This can be a yes or a no. And we don't have time to elaborate anyway. Are you aware of any other university presidents in the system going through some of the same stuff that you have because of how these rules are laid out by the system?
Of course, yes. I mean, it happens every day in universities and other organizations throughout the country. And that's what I'm going to speak about in the coming days and weeks as a way of helping other leaders.
Meaning they're worried about their own jobs because of what they have to follow. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's an issue. Every university across the country is grappling with this, and society is looking at it differently. Policies are changing. That makes for a very complicated sort of way to deal with these things, because
right.
What might be looked appropriate one day may not look appropriate a year or two down the line.
Let me move you on. I just want to say that you and I, we come from very different backgrounds. Probably politically, we're very different, but I have grown to love you and Mary very, very much. I miss
we
you guys,
you too.
And I wish you nothing but the best. Okay?
Thank you, Ray.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it, and I want to say I love you, and Mary and I send our love to the whole Valley. We'll continue to visit from time to time. We'll never forget.
Yeah, you're missed. You're missed. All right, Joe, thank you. Carry on. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much.
All right, good
luck.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
Stay safe. Bye-bye. Dr. Joe Castro on KMJ. I hope in my heart of hearts I handled that the right way. There are still, you know, puzzle pieces missing there that I tried to, you know, fit into the puzzle, if I can say it that way, rather awkwardly. There are a couple of things there that I wanted to ask, but I knew that I couldn't. He's just such a good man. And I have a hard time, you know, trying to rationalize why this has happened to him. You know, and the only thing that I can think of is they needed a face to, you know, give the boot to, so somebody was punished so everything would go away, even though he was not the individual that committed the crimes and the Title IX violations. And, you know, don't get me started on Title IX. I've been sued at this radio station over Title IX. You know, that's got its problems as well, too. But I don't think that was a player in this. A very bad actor got away with getting a gig out at Fresno State, and it cost a very, very good man his job. And sometimes that's just life. This is KMJ. One more hour to go. We'll be right back.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.